Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word of God. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. You're welcome to another episode of Every Day with Jesus broadcast, where our lives are being transformed and deeply enriched by the preaching of the word of God. This is the final episode in the series, Bible Truths Concerning the Local Church. Hallelujah. I trust you've been blessed. And then today we'll just go right into the final things I intend to say that the Lord has laid upon my heart to say as we round off this series. In the last episode, I showed us how that there's a preaching of new Christian realities, or you know what is, it's just meant to be called the gospel. Amen. You know, these days people say that man is a faith preacher, that one is a prosperity preacher, that one is a grace preacher, that one is a this and this preacher, and then we have preachers of new Christian realities, and you're wondering, okay, is the gospel disjointed? Hallelujah. What we call new Christian realities is just the gospel of Christ. The realities we have come to receive for having faith in Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit that is from God, that we may know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we speak and teach, not with words which man's wisdom teaches, but with words which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the spirit of God because they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Hallelujah. The things we have received in Christ Jesus, which we refer to as spiritual, as new Christian realities, is the gospel. Hallelujah. So there's a way people preach these realities that is not in accordance with the scriptures. Hallelujah. And then you find that people speak about these realities and what you are able to make out of this life. Earthly things. Material prosperity, material this and that, because you are righteous in Christ. Because you are righteous in Christ, because you are an heir of God, that means you can own everything, own everywhere, and all that. And then, you know, over the years I've heard those kind of teachings. One time I was listening to a particular preacher, a Pentecostal preacher, with a strong emphasis on the gift of righteousness by faith. And then he said, if I step into any nation, I say to them, you guys are citizens, right? But I own this place. Hallelujah. It's like a joke. Praise God. You own where? Hallelujah. You own the place, but you have to process visa. They have to approve your visa. They had the right to deny you visa, deny you entry. They still had the right to deport you. Hallelujah. But you own the place. You know the kind of things we say. It doesn't make sense. So the reason why he makes such statements is because his emphasis about new Christian realities, which is the gospel of Jesus, is all about this life. Let's see first. Philippians again, chapter 3. And then I'll make progress. Philippians chapter 3. So don't fall for it. It's a bait. That is not how new Christian realities or the gospel is meant to be taught. The gospel is meant to be presented the same way Jesus and his apostles presented it. Hallelujah. And when you read through their emphasis on the realities we have in Christ, the realities we have because of our faith in Jesus, it is not about how much money you can make with it. Amen. At all. Hallelujah. At all. At all. Philippians chapter 3. Glory to God. From verse 17. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Hallelujah. Who set their mind on earthly things. Their God is their belly. Hallelujah. Their belly is their God. And I said to you that the word belly is the word that means appetite, sensuality. They are being ruled by their earthly desires and appetites. Hallelujah. Paul refers to them as the enemies of the cross. Because the moment we connect earthly and material things to the work of Jesus Christ, we make void the power in the gospel. Hallelujah. In the life of the hearers. Glory to God. Jesus spoke of how the Pharisees, because of their traditions, made the word of God of no effect in the lives of the hearers. The word of God in its absolute sense cannot be void of its power, but we can deprive men of the power in the word of God when we present the gospel in a way that is not according to scriptures. Hallelujah. So men whose God is their belly are enemies of the cross. So you must be aware that when we say a sound local church, we are not just looking at the things that are said, some nice words here and there. We are not just looking for somebody who says Jesus died and he set us free from sin. Jesus died. I mean, a lot of preachers who have bastardized the gospel and have a wrong emphasis today are also talking about the fact that we have been justified by faith. Amen. A young man said to me that the first person he heard the word, or he heard this idea of we have been forgiven of all sins, past, present, and future. And then he mentioned the pastor to me. I won't mention his name. So as he mentioned the pastor, he said, I was like, wow, glory to God. It's unbelievable. This is a man who is a major enemy of the gospel. Where his preaching and emphasis is concerned. If you sit down in his church, you will never be able to make a distinction between what is spiritual and what is earthly. You'll just be busy using the Bible for material things. Yet he made such a statement. So it's a bait. Don't fall for it. Glory to God. So, and then I said quite a lot in that last episode. You could just go find it if you missed out on it. Now, let me move on to what I have to share today. And it is the fact that you must realize that the idea or the notion that I'm a part of a local church, but then, I have my own beliefs, so me, I have my own way of doing things, so me, I really do not subscribe to many things they say. I don't subscribe to their pattern or model of ministry, but, I just choose them as my church. I have my, that idea is very awkward. Hallelujah. It is awkward, it is flawed, it is unscriptural. Because we are expected to work together as one body. We are to work and labor together as a team. So if I belong to a place where I do not subscribe to their ministry pattern, or I do not subscribe to all they say, their teachings, their message, their emphasis. The emphasis is not what I agree with based on the Bible. There's no point being there. Hallelujah. Do you know why? Because Jesus is going to judge you with your church. Not that idea of, wait, I'm not part of them, I'm just in the church. But, God knows me, oh, God sees my heart, me, I'm a different person. No, Jesus will judge you collectively with your church. Hallelujah. There's a judgment that comes to us as a church, as a group, as a team. Amen. And this is so because it is rare to find a man, listen, it is rare to find a man who belongs to a group of people or to a particular local assembly who does not take on the character or the belief and the mindset that is predominant in that place. It is very rare. So the reason why you'll be judged with your church is because you are going to blend with them. If the local assembly is passive about ministry, you also take on that passivity. Hallelujah. If your local assembly is emphatic about money, success, making it, you also take on that belief and character. This is why you'll be judged along with your local church. Glory to God. That is, Jesus is not just seeing us as individuals, he also deals with us as a church. And I'm going to show you this clearly. Praise God. So you have to know what you're doing. In making a choice of a local church, you must never be careless or reckless. Amen. You must never be careless or reckless. You must be aware that Jesus is going to judge you with your church. Praise God. Hallelujah. So this is very important. Now let's walk through scriptures. Let me show you some very clear positions of the Bible on what I just said. 1 Corinthians in chapter 3. You rarely find the church spoken about and then some people being excused. No. If you are a part of that local assembly, you'll be judged together with them. The emphasis of that church is your emphasis. The character of that church is your character. The way and manner of that church is your way and manner. Your wisdom is derived from that church. The way you think about life, your belief system is formed by the choice of a local assembly. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at this very carefully. 1 Corinthians 3. Paul speaking to the Corinthian church. Oh, glory to God. Paul speaking to the Corinthian church from verse 1. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, even as to babes in Christ. I could not speak to you." He was not making a distinction. He's not saying, "I could not speak to some of you." No, I could not speak to you, the entire Corinthian church. I could not speak to you guys as to spiritual men. You guys are immature. You are carnal. You are babes in Christ. And he was talking about the old church. Amen. Listen. That's why in the same letter to the Corinthian church, Paul says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. We're going to see another usage at Galatians. So it is unlikely, very, very, very unlikely that you'll be in a place and the belief system, the culture and the way of that place will not become yours. It is very unlikely. Hallelujah. If men are carnal and given to the things of this life and given to this world and given to ungodliness, and you are there and you are seated there comfortably, it will become your own attitude and your own disposition and your own way of living very soon. Hallelujah. That's why the judgment is done generally. It is not just about you as an individual. You are summed with your church. Hallelujah. There's a collective rebuke that comes to us as a body. Amen. It's very important to understand this. It says, "I could not speak to you as to spiritual, but as to carnal, even as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, 'I'm of Paul,' another, 'I'm of Apollos,' another, 'I'm of Apollos,' are you not carnal?" Praise God. Now, this conduct did not, it was not something that everybody began to do spontaneously. It must have started with some group of people in the church. And then because they were not addressing it, it spread through the church. It became the new normal. Hallelujah. So, Paul is writing to them and he's calling them all carnal. You all are like babies. The old church, they had been affected. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Glory to God. See, the day I understood this was the day I knew, I can never settle down in any place where I do not agree with their doctrinal position. I can never. Amen. The doctrinal position, their ministry approach, if it's not biblical, I cannot be found there. Because I'll be judged with my local church. Amen. And you know, these are words you don't get to hear every time. We don't say this every time. That is the reason for this series. To delve into the teaching concerning the local church and to show you the significance, the power, the importance, the necessity of the local church. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, verse 1, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife, and you are puffed up and have not rather mourned, that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. You are puffed up. The old church was rebuked for being puffed up. Hallelujah. Nobody was saying anything. Nobody was making any correction. It became a normal thing. They embraced that man with all his, you know, rebellion. Paul wrote to them as a church. So you can't be in this kind of setting and say, "Me, I'm not there." You are there. Praise God. You can't be in this kind of setting where people were playing favoritism between sound ministers of the gospel, Paul, Cephas, and Apollos, and you say, "Me, I'm not there." You are there. Praise God. That's why the instructions given to us in scriptures are so clear. No missing words. Withdraw from them. Avoid them. Shun them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because you will be judged with your church. Glory to God. You will be judged with your church. Galatians in chapter 1. So we have seen the Corinthians. Let's look at the Galatians. Judgment to one in the local assembly in matters of doctrine and ministry pattern is judgment to all. When it comes to your personal flaws, then we treat that as a personal thing. But when it comes to the whole body of belief, the doctrinal emphasis of your church, the judgment to one is judgment to everybody in the church. Hallelujah. Galatians in chapter 1. Glory to God. Galatians 1. Look at what Paul says to the Galatians. Now the Galatians were a group of churches across the region. So it wasn't just one. That's why when you read Galatians 1, 2, it says to the churches of Galatia, not to the church, to the churches of Galatia. And then all these churches had been infected by the doctrine of legalism. Galatians 1, 6, I marvel that you are turning so soon away from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. I marvel that everybody, the whole church, all the churches of Galatia are turned away from the grace message. And they had become legalistic. They had gone back to the bondage of the law, something they were never even under as Gentiles. So you see that there's no sparing an individual. Where doctrine is concerned, the doctrine of the church will become yours very soon. Amen. And if it is not yours, then you have no business being there. It's a waste of time. It says you are soon turning away. And I was talking about the old church. Hallelujah. The old church. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1 to 3. See this rebuke by Paul. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1 to 3. So before you sit down conveniently or comfortably in an unsound and unhealthy local assembly by patting yourself on the back and saying, well, I know what I believe. I don't believe in many things they say. Before you do that, you realize that even, because you know the truth, your judgment will be greater. Amen. Yes, because you know the truth. You know the truth. That means you are deliberately being in disobedience. You are deliberately refusing divine instructions and injunctions given you in the scriptures. Hallelujah. I told somebody recently, I said, when we say withdraw from them, shun them, don't go and sit down in a church that is not a word church. When we say all those things, what do you think? Do you think it's our wisdom or our own counsel? Do you think it's my perspective? Do you think it is? When I went to Ghana, do you know how much I suffered for this? Do you know how much I suffered for this, looking for a sound local church? Do you know that the eventual decision I made was to leave the church and to start something, be reaching out to people? Do you know how much it cost me? Do you know which one is more convenient? Which was more convenient for me right then? The more convenient one was to find any church and just settle down. The one that was not convenient and comfortable was to be away from those places because they were not sound, and to busy myself reaching others with the gospel and to have something that looks like a fellowship. Glory to God. And I remember looking for church venue, looking for places I could just rent. My landlord was not giving me any permission to host fellowship, host guys in my apartment for fellowship. So it was such a serious puzzle trying to figure out which location to get, which location to use. I went to a cyber cafe. I went to a classroom to ask them if I could come and be using the school. I went, you know, and I didn't have enough money on me. But you know, it was not convenient. What I'm trying to say is that it was much more convenient for me to just settle and be in any church. Now, let me tell you this. When I was in the first church I attended, I met somebody who used to attend my fellowship back in Nigeria, a fellowship that's a word fellowship. I met her in the same church. Guess what? She had forgotten everything we were preaching in Nigeria. She said to me one day, she said, I can't even remember where I threw all my books. And she was giving me counsel. She said, see, just settle down. There may be a lot of things you need to relearn and unlearn. They had shipwrecked her convictions concerning many things. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at Galatians chapter 3. And I'll read from verse 1. Bible says, "All foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified?" It does not say, "Oh, foolish, some of you in Galatians are foolish." It says, "Oh, foolish Galatians," because the old church had been permeated by the error or with the error of legalism. "Oh, foolish Galatians," all of them. Nobody could come and say, "Ah, me, I'm not there, sir." Hallelujah. For being a part of that place and you've been silent, you're just there receiving and listening and following everything there. Oh, foolish Galatians, you are all fools. Praise God. Now listen. The idea and the notion of trying to change any local assembly as a member of the church is funny. There will be no change that will come to a local assembly without passing through the leader. It must bypass, you cannot bypass the leader of the place. If you attempt to do that, that's rebellion. And if they nail you for rebellion, you can't blame them. It's a structure. It's a system. You must recognize the authority in place. So you have to go through the leadership. Now, if you do not have such rapport and such conversations and such closeness and affiliation with the leadership of the church, forget it. It's something that will never come to pass. Hallelujah. It's one of those dreams that will remain a dream for the rest of your life. You cannot change any organization or any church from the bottom up. It has to be from the up, from the top. Hallelujah. From the bottom to the top. It has to be from the top to the bottom. It must be from the leadership. The Galatian churches, for instance, the failure was a failure of leadership. The leaders did not resist the era of legalism. And every other person had to just follow. Hallelujah. The only way to not follow them was to leave. Glory to God. The same thing with the Corinthians. There were leaders in the church. Are you aware that the Corinthians had pastors? There were leaders in the church who could not take their stand against certain things done in the church. Praise God. Look at this. So, Paul says, "Oh, foolish Galatians, everybody, without excluding anyone, because you'll be judged with your local assembly." There's no such thing as I'm not part of them. Look at the Colossians. The Colossians. Hallelujah. Look at the Colossians. If your local assembly has an emphasis that is unhealthy, that is unscriptural, it will soon become your conviction. If it will not become your conviction, it will be because you walk away from that place. Stay long in a place and they will rub on you. It's that simple. Especially when you are not the one holding the mic. The Colossians. Colossians in chapter 2. From verse 1 to 5. Colossians 2, 1 to 5. Bible says, "For I want you to know what great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now did I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words." Now look at verse 5. "For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." The old church was commended for being steadfast in the faith. Hallelujah. Compare this with the Galatian church. So you see that you, when you belong to a particular assembly, you will most likely take on their belief system, their fervency or lack of it, their convictions, their persuasions, hallelujah, their attitudes, their passion, appetite. You will take on everything. Why? Because you are going to be shaping. You are going to be, your belief, your mind is going to be shaped by your association. That is why the judgment will come to us as the church. Before it's about individuals, Jesus will judge us as a church, as a group of individuals. Praise God. You know, while growing up, I used to hear this, you know, God will judge you alone, God will judge you alone, and all that. But then it all changes in the context of the local church. It changes. The judgment will not just be as individuals. Jesus also judges churches. As we see the apostles writing and talking about the churches and then describing them all with the same, you know, with the same adjectives. Praise God. If you belong to the Colossian church, then Paul is commending you here. Paul is commending you here for being steadfast in your faith. If you belong to the Galatians, Paul is saying you are a foolish person. Oh, foolish Galatians. You don't say, excuse me, sir, I was not there. You are a part of them. Hallelujah. So there are no excuses. Come on. There are no excuses. The Thessalonians, look at this. Hallelujah. The Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Glory to God. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 3. And I'll read from verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 3, 1 to 7. Bible says, "Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, and that no one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. For in fact, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation just as it happened. And you know, for this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you and our labor might be in vain." Hallelujah. Now look at verse 6. "But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have great remembrance or good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us, as we also to see you." Verse 7. "Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith." So you see that the old church, hallelujah, all the brethren in Thessalonica. Bible says, Timothy brought to Paul says Timothy brought to him the good news concerning their faith and love. Hallelujah. Verse 8, for now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. They were steadfast in the midst of the afflictions, the tribulations, all the persecutions they were encountering. They were standing fast with the truth of the gospel as a church. Amen. I know, of course, that's as a result of the leader of the church. Don't forget, discipleship is only possible when there's a leader, there's a trainer, where there's a sound minister of the gospel. So whatever you are reading here is the outcome of leadership. Hallelujah. That's why the church will be judged together. But then, of course, it will begin with the leader. Because teachers will receive a stricter judgment. When we go to the book of Revelation, you see how that the ministers were written to. But then the whole church was going to partake of the rebuke. Hallelujah. It starts with the minister because it's the one who sets the tone for the direction of the church. But if you are there receiving everything, you also are going to be judged for staying in a place where the truth of Christ was not presented. Hallelujah. Especially if you know the truth. Praise God. Look at the Philippians. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27 to 30. Philippians 1, 27 to 30. Glory to God. This is very, very, very key. Hallelujah. Philippians 1, 27 to 30. Hallelujah. Bible says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries. Hallelujah. Not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him and also to suffer, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here is in me. Hallelujah. So, as a church, Paul wanted them to contend together, strive together for the faith of the gospel of Christ. They were going to do it as a church collectively. Praise God. So that's why I said to you, passion in the local church is contagious. It will go round. Compromise in the local church will also permeate the whole place. Praise God. So you must never excuse yourself. You say, I belong to that church, but I'm really not part of them. I don't believe what they, then you should not be there. Praise God. You should not be there. So, because there's a togetherness to these things. Hallelujah. There's a togetherness to these things. Glory to God. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. See what Paul says to the Corinthian church. And then we'll get to the book of Revelation and close on that note. See how Jesus addressed the churches as one body. Praise God. No excuses made for anyone. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. Glory to God. Paul speaking, he says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Do not be deceived. They were already being deceived. Amen. So the context of evil company corrupts good habits is doctrine. Amen. They had embraced the doctrine of there is no resurrection. Hallelujah. And Paul is making a defense of the resurrection of Christ, and now that everyone that has been found in Jesus would also partake of that resurrection. That is, we're expecting a time when our bodies will be raised incorruptible. Paul says to them, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. What is the evil company here? False doctrine. Men peddling lies. Men saying something that is opposite the word of God. Men saying something that is contradictory to God's word. Paul calls it an evil company. And he says it corrupts good habits. Hallelujah. It corrupts good manners. Awake to righteousness, verse 34, and sin no more. Praise God. And do not sin, for some of you do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. So when he says do not be deceived, it means people oftentimes feel that they can be in the midst of people who do not believe sound doctrine, who do not contend for the integrity of God's word or for purity of doctrine, and that they will still be very fine and okay. It's a deception. Do not be deceived. Evil company will corrupt good habits. Hallelujah. That thing you think you know, that you think you know well, before you know it, you start singing a different tune, because in the midst of bad company, your habits, your good habits, your mindset, your orientation will be corrupted. Amen. So, like I said, it is very unlikely that you'll be in a place where there's no emphasis on sound doctrine and you'll still be passionate about it. Even if you know it, it will just be head knowledge. It's very unlikely that you'll be in a place where there's no emphasis on evangelism, reaching out to souls, doing the work of ministry, and you suddenly pick up the passion. It's very unlikely. That's why Jesus will judge us as a body. Amen. Not just as individuals. We'll be judged, of course, give account of all we do, but then he's going to also judge us. He's appraising us as a church, as a body. Your choice of a local church will be judged. Praise God. Look at this now. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 4. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 4. See how Jesus addressed the churches in the book of Galatians. Revelation 1:4, it was writing to the churches. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, and the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over all the kings of the earth. Revelation 1:4-5. Now, get to Revelation chapter 2, verse 1-4. To the angel of the church of Ephesus, write. When he says the angel, he's referring to the ministers, the pastors in charge. So he says, write to the pastor in charge. This thing says, he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, he who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear with those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and you have persevered, and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Hallelujah. You've not become weary. It now says in verse 4, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Hallelujah. You've left your first love. You've left your first love. So he had something against that church. The minister in charge was responsible for the atmosphere and the predominant state of the church. They had left their first love. Glory to God. Look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 8 to 10. Another church. Revelation 2, 8 to 10. And to the church of the angel of the church in Smyrna, write, this thing says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I'll give you the crown of life. So this is a church that was faithful. Hallelujah. They were persecuted, and they kept on, you know, persevering in their faith. Glory to God. See, the old church. He says, some of you are about to be tested. So Jesus is writing to the church as a body. He wasn't making excuses for anybody. So you will mirror or reflect the emphasis or the predominant culture and belief system of your local church. Hallelujah. Look at the next church. Revelation chapter 2, verse 12-15. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos, write, this thing says, he who has the sharp two-edged sword, I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you, where Satan dwells. So this is a church that was not that once withstood persecution, a church that once stood against temptations, even when one of them was killed, they stood fast. But then look at what happened next, verse 14. Look at what Jesus says next, rather, verse 14. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. So you see that there were those who were preaching a different doctrine in the church, and Jesus was speaking to the church entirely. Praise God. He says to them in verse 16, repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He expected them to collectively own up, hallelujah, to that flaw, to that problem in the church. He wanted them to be collectively responsible for those who were teaching a different doctrine in their midst. Hallelujah. Praise God. Look at this one. Revelation chapter 2, verse 18-20. To the angel of the church of Thyatira, write, this thing says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like flame, his feet like fine brass, sorry. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. So you see, as a church, this was a church that had more good works than they had in the beginning. That is, they were making progress in the faith, growing and advancing in the Christian faith. As a church, praise God. And then look at verse 20. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allowed that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things offered to idols. So you see that he had a fault against that church also. He had a problem with the fact that they were allowing a particular person to teach a contrary doctrine. Revelation chapter 3. Verse 1 to 2. Of course, we are not explaining what these things are in detail. I'm just showing you how that Jesus was writing collectively to a church. Hallelujah. And to another church. And he was giving them rebukes as one body. Revelation chapter 3, verse 1 to 2. And to the angel of the church inside his right, this thing says, he was the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Have you seen that? That rebuke was given to the whole church. Hold fast and repent. Hallelujah. Look at this next one. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7 to 11. Hallelujah. Revelation 3, 7 to 11, the next church. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, this thing says, he who is holy, he who is true, praise God, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, I have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews, and are not but lie, indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you, because you have kept my command to persevere. I also will keep you from the hour of tribulation, or trial rather, which shall come upon the face of the whole world, to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have, that no one may take your crown. So this was a faithful church. Hallelujah. You see that everybody in the church was commended for faithfulness. Because you take on the character of your church. Amen. If your church is passionate about prayer, you'll be a prayerful Christian, most likely. If your church is not passionate about prayer, you will not be a prayerful Christian, most likely. Praise God. I mean, if you are prayerful, then you are a miracle. It's an exception. And you should not be there. You have put yourself in a place where you do not belong. Hallelujah. The instructions in the Bible are very clear. You are to go where you can thrive and grow and be effective and serve and do the will of God. That is the local assembly that you should belong to. Praise God. Because Jesus will judge you with your church. Amen. Now see this last church, Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 to 17. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, this thing says the Amen and faithful, the true witness, and the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you see, I am rich, I have become wealthy, and I have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. That's down to verse 19. This was a lukewarm church. And the old church had taken on that kind of state. Praise God. They were lukewarm. So you cannot excuse yourself from the disposition, the passion, the fervency, or the lack of fervency that is found in your assembly. Praise God. It's impossible. Hallelujah. Evil communication corrupts good manners. I'm going to end with the instructions we have in the scriptures. So this is why those instructions were given. It's not because they were trying to create division or enmity in the church. It is because, a lot is at stake. If I join a place where they are not preaching, the doctrine of Christ in its purity. There's no emphasis on eternal things, on spiritual things, and there's more emphasis on the things of this life, this world, your marriage, your money, career, this, how to blow, how to arm, how to make it, how to do this, how to shine in the world, the spirit of excellence as per excellent things. Amen. Succeeding and doing well in your career and all that. Of course, spirit of excellence, the book of Daniel, is not about excelling in your career. It was about the spirit of God. Amen. Do you get what I'm trying to say? It's not doing excellent things that the world can do. It was about doing things that only the spirit of God could have achieved. Amen. It was about having a superior spirit, a spirit superior to the spirit operating in Babylon. Babylon was an idolatrous nation. Praise God. And so Daniel was in captivity and he was a Jew. So he was operating a different spirit. That's why he was able to tell the dream of the king. He told him his dream, which he had forgotten. And then he gave him the interpretation of the dream. He did that by the spirit of God. That's what they refer to as an excellent spirit. Glory to God. So, but today, you know, that word has been, that phrase rather, has been kidnapped to mean doing exploits in your career and all those things. That's not it. So, let's see instructions in scriptures as I close this series. The instruction, when you find yourself in a place where the emphasis is materialism, legalism, or mysticism, and all these kind of schisms, praise God, the idea is to heed biblical instructions. Don't be so wise in your own eyes, in your own estimates. Glory to God. Stop being funny by saying, I'm going to change the whole system, change the organization. Some even have the ambition to change some denominations that are like global conglomerates of businesses. Amen. I mean, you see branches scattered all over the world, thousands of branches, and you want to change them. And you are just a member of one branch somewhere in Isolo. Praise God. One branch in Egbeda, but you want to change the whole church. You have such ambition or dream that is too wild. Praise God. And you are over ambitious. Praise God. You cannot change anything. The change will come through the leadership of the church. And if the leadership is not shifting ground, then you'll be like that. You'll be there with them for many years and nothing is going to change. So let's look at the instructions given to us in the Bible. You are better off heeding these instructions. It is for your own good. I used to say this to people. If all of us, make this decision to just join any place and just try to blend, do you think some of us will be making the kind of impact we are making today? Do you think I'll have time for doing podcast? Do you understand what I'm saying? It does not make sense. You'll be better off heeding these instructions given to us in scriptures. Romans 14 and verse 17. Hallelujah. Romans 14, 17. Glory to God. Sorry, Romans 16, 17. Very key. Bible says, now I heard you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. It does not mean words. Avoid them. Glory to God. Avoid them. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 5. The instruction is so clear that you would have to be in disobedience to not heed these instructions. Amen. And you know, many times people choose local assemblies not sound in the faith, especially after meeting the word of God. They choose local assemblies not sound in the faith because they're already in a cold state. They're already lukewarm. They're already in compromise. They've lost their fervency. I know what I'm saying. You cannot be fervent. You can't be on fire for Jesus and settle down in certain places. And settle down in places where the word of God is not an emphasis. Where the work of ministry, serving Jesus, is not an emphasis. You cannot blend with them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 5. Glory to God. Verse 5. Hallelujah. It says, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds in destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such, withdraw yourself. It is so clear, no missing words. From such, withdraw yourself. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 16. 2 Timothy 2, 16. Glory to God. 2 Timothy 2, 16. Hallelujah. Bible says, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they would increase to more ungodliness. Shun. Hallelujah. Shun it. Glory to God. Shun. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Still at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 23. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23. Hallelujah. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5. Bible says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people, turn away. Turn away. You know, there's no missing words. Hallelujah. There's no missing words. You are told what to do, and you are better off heeding these godly instructions. You should ask yourself, what is Jesus thinking about my local church? Hallelujah. What do I think Jesus is thinking about my local church? Is he thinking of us as a faithful church? As a sound local church? As a faithful church? As a church persevering in the faith? As a church doing his will from the heart? Or is he thinking of us as a church that is lukewarm, worldly? Or a church given to frivolous activities? Is he thinking of us as a materialistic church? What exactly is Jesus' view of us? Compare what you can see in the Bible with the state of your local church and make a choice. Hallelujah. I'm not one of those who try to deceive people and say, well, every church is sound, every church is okay. Let's not cause division, you know. Let's just be at peace. No, 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 no. That's not what Jesus sent me to do. Praise God. So I'll tell you the truth. You must make a choice between what the Bible says or what is popular. Glory to God. So what is Jesus thinking about my church? Consider it, think about it, reflect on it, and let God guide you in your choice of a sound and healthy local church. So we have come to the end of this series. It's been a long one. And then we'll move on to another teaching from tomorrow. Praise God. Tomorrow or anytime we are having the broadcast next, because sometimes we could have a prayer session on this broadcast. If you go through the MixLR, we stated there that this platform is for the teaching of God's word and for prayer. So we could have prayer sessions, we could have teaching. So the next time we're having a teaching on this broadcast, we're going to start a new series. I want you to be of an open mind and let's study, let's just keep learning the word of God together and keep growing together. So don't forget to tune in the next time. Invite your friends, family members, colleagues, classmates, and let's come together to have a great time in the word of God and in prayers. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the word, full of faith, full of power, full of the Holy Ghost, full of spiritual songs. And don't forget to be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.